Good morning.
Morning.
There's nothing in this passage that I like. Is that true for you, or is it just true for me? Maybe we should give it a second listen. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. Yes, I have. But Jesus is talking, I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. That's crazy. Do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. In other words, don't be willing to get hit once, but be willing to get hit twice. This is the good news. I'm going to take a double punch. Oh, if you get sucker punched once, be prepared to take the second one and don't hit back. I don't like that. Then Jesus, and he's got a bad habit about this. He keeps talking. If anyone wants to sue you, let's just stop right there. If somebody's suing me, I've got a prayer for them. Lord, bless and keep them far away from me. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. Are you kidding me? This is Brooks Brothers. Stuff ain't cheap. So if I'm supposed to give you, I'm going to take my cloak, I'll give you my coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, get the language here. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, so you're already going one against your will. All right, you're going to go a mile. Give me a mile. You just have a PE coach who told me that in seventh grade. Give me a mile. I hated that man. Give me a mile, but if somebody forces you to go one, go two. This man is nuts. I see why they killed him. Well, no, come on. Come on, measure up. Do you do this every day? Are you that giving, that generous every day? When someone gives and asks, and at Houston, we give asked a lot. Are we prepared to give not once, but twice? Wow. Who does this guy think he is? And the answer is he thinks he's the Son of God. And what the contrast is, what I'm going for here, is just how different this world is from ours. I watch the news, I see bombs going off. I see a lot of evil. And it is being countered with violence and violence again. I have a friend of mine, missionary in Iraq, named Jeremy Courtney. I mention him often because he's one of my, I just admire him. And he's a peacemaker. And he's a Christian, grew up, went to Baylor, Southeast Texas boy. Missionary in Sulaymaniyah, Iraq, just north, about 45 miles north of Baghdad. And he has seen terror and violence and evil beyond which anything I have ever known. And I ask him, Jeremy, why are you bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to such a violent place? And he said, because it's the only hope we have. We have got to be people who bring peace. And the way we will do it is by living this way. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. If anyone wants to sue you, take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second. Give to everyone who begs from you. Do not refuse anyone. In other words, Jesus is telling us to live not a life of some generosity, but of complete generosity. Be prepared to give everything you have. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ requires it and is worth it. And it is so different from how we are wired to live our lives in this sinful and broken world. But we desperately need it. And this is, I think, in Jesus' teachings, he says many challenging things, of course, but this is among the hardest. Do not resist. Turn the other cheek. If anyone gives, asks from you, be prepared to give more. If somebody wants you to go 1 mile, go two. A life of complete generosity where beyond what we think we have, we give. It's an extraordinary life that Jesus calls us to. It is so against our sinful, greedy nature. Yet when we live this way, it's beautiful. We can get small tastes even. For those of us that are married, if your spouse comes to you this week and says, "Do you have a moment?" What if you respond by saying, "You know, for you, I have two. I think your marriage will get better at that moment," right? If you're married and your spouse asks you to say, "Do you have a moment?" If you respond by saying, "No, I don't have a minute, but I've got 30 seconds, I'll give you that." How's that going to go for you? Not well, is it? Right? So you see, if we're half-hearted about this, right? If you see if we're halfway about this, or if there's some reservation or sinful tendency, and life gets a mess real quick. But if we're prepared to give beyond, double beyond what is being asked of us, it just creates a sense of love and generosity that can be had no other way. You know, if you want, again, just a small taste of this, just to say, instead of, you know, when you go to lunch after church and today, when the waiter or server comes and says, "Would you like dessert?" Say, "Yes, I'd like two." See, we get this. A double share is a blessing, isn't it? It's wonderful. I mean, it just melts us. When we get a double share of something, it changes us. And you can feel it in your heart. You can feel it in your mind. And what Jesus is asking us is to have a life where we are willing to give a double share, but to things that truly matter in heaven, versus investing our double shares in things that are idolatrous or frivolous. When a double share of our spirit is given to things that matter to Jesus, that will be the most powerful spiritual experience you will have. You will feel so close to God because the Spirit moves when we live this way. And it is hard and it is painful and we make a mess of it. And when we do, we ask for forgiveness. But when we live like this, man, it's awesome. It's beautiful. It'll bring you to tears of joy. When we invest ourselves with true generosity and things that matter in heaven above, it's amazing. And I genuinely believe that the Holy Spirit works with us every day to see how we're doing and measure us and compare us, if you will, or work with us to cultivate this kind of spirit in our souls. I'll give you an example. Last Saturday night doesn't go well for preachers because you're thinking about Sunday. But last Saturday night, I had some time to kill, and I was surfing on the internet, and God spoke to me and said, "Andy, you haven't bought a pair of shoes in a while." And I said, "Lord, I know." I guess he was concerned about the state of my soul, as you might say, right? You found that funnier than Deborah did. But I'm shopping for a pair of shoes. Don't ask me why. I haven't bought a pair of shoes, I don't know, in months. I mean, it's not my thing. But I end up on Zappos.com and shopping for a pair of shoes. And I end up, again, you're going to think I'm off my medication, and I'm not on any medication except caffeine. I mean, this is just kind of, but I do think Jesus puts us to the test from time to time on passages like this. And I end up staring at this pair of red canvas Chuck Taylor high tops. Do you know the shoe? Chuck Taylor's? Everybody got a pair, right? Yeah, kind of a vintage, cool thing. Wish I could wear them at First Methodist Houston, but that doesn't go over so well. But I end up staring at this bright red pair. And my wife walks in and it's like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "I'm shopping for shoes." She said, "Why?" I said, "I don't know. But don't these red Chuck Taylors look cool?" She said, "No, they don't." Okay. The next day, Sunday morning, I'm here early. and a woman comes in the door. And I've never seen her before. And she's got three kids. And she looks disheveled. She looks like somebody who's been at the scene of an accident, right? She just looks like something has happened to her, and it's not good. But she walks in the church and sees me. I'm just right there as she comes in, and it's about an hour before worship starts, so there aren't a lot of people, you know, milling around. And so I look at her and say, "Can I help you?" And she said, "I'm just wondering if there's anybody here who can help me." And then she tells me what happened the night before. And I don't want to go into details, but it's awful. And I'm having that conversation, and I look down, and she's wearing that exact pair of shoes. I kid you not. She had a football sweatshirt on, jeans, and bright red, high-top canvas Chuck Taylors. And I looked up at Lord and I said, "Are you messing with me?" And he said, "No, I'm trying to get your attention." I said, "Well, you got it." And here's what happened. She talks to me for a few minutes and I said, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" And she said, "Y'all have coffee?" I said, "Yeah, we do." So I get her a cup of coffee. I sit her down. I introduce her to Mandy Jones. Mandy Jones talks to her for a while, and it's a very valuable conversation. And then by quote-unquote chance, one of our counselors was doing a workshop on campus that morning, and she was there. And we were able to connect her with resources and people and counseling that she needed right then. What I can tell you is that when she first approached me and said, "Can somebody here help me?" I was hoping the answer was yes. And I was thinking about all the things that I had to do. It's Sunday morning. And selfishly, I'm trying to protect my time and think about, you know, I hope somebody's here to help you. And I kind of pray it's not me. Because I got things to do and places to be. And I stand back from that. We kind of dealt with that, and the spirit kind of moved, and all of a sudden she's having this amazing conversation with somebody who can really help her. And we've followed up during the week. It just dawns on me. What she asked of me was what, at the time, it was beyond what I was prepared to give emotionally. It was beyond what I was prepared to give faithfully even. But I stuck with it and had the conversation, and then God sent me Mandy Jones, and then God sent me one of our counselors, and we were able to really help a family that was in a tragic, tragic need. And what occurred to me is that we have a lot of great things happen in our church every single week. I mean, just amazing stuff. Every single day happens at First Methodist Houston. But the holiest moment or the most powerful thing we may have done last Sunday was help her. The person who walks in off the street, life has fallen apart, is somebody here to help me? And I believe that Jesus sends people to church like that, or in that moment when he knows that there are Christians who are ready to respond. In other words, there's a generous congregation. There's a generous church. There are people who understand this very passage. Whatever somebody asked of you, give a double share. When we love people like that, it changes lives. It heals families. It makes churches stronger. It's signs and visions that we see from heaven above. Amazing miracles happen when all of a sudden we get this passage right. So I just ask you again, it is so contrary to our sinful wiring, but if we live this way, heaven opens. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. If anyone wants to sue you to take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go too. When we live with that sort of abundant giving nature, when we live that way, the Spirit moves. Charles Allen, I think, knew that too. And the clip that we played in the bumper. And I know the audio is a little tough. That was recorded in 1983. And I was alive in 1983. And I don't remember audio being that tough. But okay. But he's telling a story about a Baptist preacher friend of his. And he's talking about churches that grow. And Charles Allen says, if you want to grow in church, it isn't about who the preacher is. It isn't about the location of the church. Doesn't matter where it is. A church that is thriving doesn't need to have the best facilities or even necessarily the most powerful ministries. He said the secret to a growing church, a church that reaches people for Jesus Christ, a church where people are joining, a church where people are being baptized and finding the Lord. He says the number one element of that is an enthusiastic congregation. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. The choir believes that. That was good, choir. I think you believe that too. An enthusiastic relationship with Jesus is what draws people to church, because people look at us who are not believers, or maybe they're not churchgoers, and they say, I don't know what it is about that person, but there's something different. There's a joy there. There's a love there. There's an abundance there. And what creates that is when we live like this. When we live like this, we see God in real time. Sometimes people ask me, it's like, Andy, how can you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead? And the answer is, I see him all the time. He's talking to me on Zappos websites. He's showing me shoes. I know he lives. That kind of God is the one who's always trying to reach us. And the reason Jesus is it because he wants to change us? He loves us, but he doesn't necessarily love us the way we are. He loves us too much, and he wants us to become more like him, more like heaven. And the way we do that is by following these words. If anyone asks, be prepared to go beyond. I want to be a person like that. I want to be a pastor like that. I want to be a part of a church like that. And when that happens, it's heaven on earth. And we're invited to be a part by simply listening to these words and being shaped by them. It's not easy. I mean, there are times my sinful pride just rears up something fierce, and to fight that back is hard. But I know and I believe and I have seen and I have experienced that Jesus' words are completely true. And that when we live this way, we feel God's presence and we know the love of Jesus. So I would just ask you to take this passage, commit it to memory, recite it to yourself this week, every single day. If anyone asks, be prepared to go the second mile. If you did that at work, how would that change your office? In fact, at the 9 o'clock service, we had a visitor, a guest, and she was in her nurse scrubs, so I knew she was, healthcare field. And she's been visiting kind of off and on. I'm not sure how much of a church history there is there, but she comes up to me after the service this morning, and she says, Pastor Andy, I just got to tell you that what Jesus said, that's right on. I said, I know. Tell me about it. And she said, I had this patient come in about a week ago. She came into our clinic and we were working with her, and she was terrible. She was mean. She was nasty. She cussed. She got on everybody. None of us liked her. And she said, we saw her coming into our clinic again this week. And all the nurses around me said, I ain't doing that. I'm not dealing with her. Somebody else can have that. But she said, you know what I did? I stepped up. I said, I'll take her. And then she said, I'm going to love her like Jesus would. And I said, what happened? And she said, she changed. She's been nice ever since she came back. And I said, imagine that. When we're prepared to give a double share, everything changes. And maybe the truth of it is when we feel half-hearted, when our commitment is halfway, it just creates all sorts of internal chaos in us, because what we're doing is we're letting sin persist. But when we go beyond that, instead of giving halfway, I want to go beyond whole way, then all of a sudden our lives change. Peace is found. The things we most want, joy, tranquility, all these gifts that God gives. The experience of just knowing that he's oh so close happens when we live like this. So I've been measuring myself up this week to this passage. And again, I fall so short. But there have been moments where God has broken through with me, and I've found it true. When the church, when we are prepared to invest a double share of ourselves in kingdom things, the glory that goes on around us is substantial. And I do believe that Jesus sends us signs and gives us dreams and visions that sort of ask us or are there to help us just sort of measure how it is that we're doing. One of the things I changed this week, because I realized the shallowness that I was kind of dwelling in, is I'm not praying about shoes anymore. And I'm not seeking them out anymore. But I'm praying for the woman that I met. And I'm praying that she finds the love of Jesus. And I'm praying that the Lord will heal her family for some really evil things that have happened that shouldn't. And my heart is changed. It's because it's not about things. It's about people. And the pain they experience and the power of the gospel to heal. And when we feel that, it's amazing what can happen. Again, the Lord pushes us and tests us, I think, all the time. I was getting out of my car at the West Campus this morning, and I get out of my Jeep, and I catch my suit, lining of my suit on the door, and I rip the lining out of my suit jacket. Wonderful way to start a Sunday morning. And so I got some safety pins and stitched it back together, and many people have said today, "Andy, you look so nice and put together." I said, "The truth is, I'm held together by paper clips and safety pins. You have no idea." But it's been a metaphor for me today that we can live this passage. The truth is, we've all been torn apart to some degree, and the Lord has worked mightily to put us together. And the glory of the gospel and the magnificence of the Holy Spirit is that as broken and as flawed as we are, we can still live this way. And when we do, we are further healed, our world is changed, and our relationship with Jesus above is vibrant. So as we hear them a final time, again, commit them to memory perhaps this week. Measure yourself. Where are you in this? But the words Jesus speaks are beyond true. And that when we live this way, we will feel his presence. Jesus said, "Do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow." Pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for the power of the gospel. It's so beyond us. But we are grateful that as sin-ridden as we are, and as prone to temptation as evil as sometimes we can be, you and your amazing grace and love for us work to forgive us and changes. This morning, we pray for that forgiveness. In some way, we are people this week who have turned from you, and that hurts. It hurts us, and that we are less than we could be, and it hurts you because we know that you love us, Jesus. We ask for your forgiveness, but we pray that things would not stop there. We pray that your grace and love and scripture would work in us to measure us up. How are we doing in living according to your standards? And help us to take the next steps so that we don't settle for a love of you that's just half. Indeed, let your words and your scripture be fulfilled so that a double share of everything that we have, which comes from you, might be given back. Knowing that as we live this way, we discover what it is to truly follow you, Jesus, and to feel your presence at work in our lives. We thank you for the amazing gift you are, O Christ. And again, ask for your blessings as you continue to work with all of us. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who taught us also to pray together, saying these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.